The White House will release details of the president's management agenda any day now, and observers expect embracing risk may be an aspect of that strategy. A risk-averse federal government may find that strategy hard to implement. Two former federal executives are leading an effort to empower government leaders with an enterprise risk management strategy. Linda Springer is executive director of the government and public sector at Ernst & Young, former comptroller at the Office of Management and Budget also, and former director of the Office of Personnel Management. Dan Blair, meanwhile, is president and CEO of the National Academy of Public Administration and former acting OPM director. Linda explains the concept behind enterprise risk management to Federal News Radio's Francis Rose.
Enterprise risk management is really a process and protocol by which organizations look on an enterprise holistic manner at risks that are potentially manifesting themselves or have the potential to, and then applying the appropriate management techniques to mitigate those risks. And that's the traditional classic ERM.
What is evolving in the way that you and Linda and your colleagues at this event at NAPA are looking at enterprise risk management, Dan?
Well, ERM seems to be a very hot buzzword right now. There's some books that have come out on it. There have been some other organizations that have been promoting it. But what NAPA and E&Y did together was to kind of take it to another level. And we said, how can ERM help agencies and federal departments optimize results and improve program management? It's just not looking at risks only, but it's looking at program performance and how can you enhance that.
We'll talk about the potential name change there in a little bit then. But how are we looking at this differently than we should be for the long term, Linda?
Well, think about it this way, Francis. Pretend you have been diagnosed with coronary artery disease.
Okay.
That risk of the cholesterol buildup has now manifested itself. And you can imagine in the federal government any number of ways that risks have materialized into some sort of a bad situation. Well, that's an after the fact then treatment. Alternatively, you could have been diagnosed with higher cholesterol than you should and taken some steps, diet, medicine, whatever. So that's the risk prevention, and that's analogous to traditional ERM. Before it manifests itself, you mitigate.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about here is saying, as you're doing that mitigation, taking the medicine and doing the diet adjustments, you actually realize that there's some other things you can do, like exercise, and that makes you actually feel better, have more energy, you're in better shape. So there are other optimizations and better performance that come from the insights you get as you're mitigating a risk. And that's the thing that government is now starting to think about while they're putting in place the basic fundamental ERM disciplines.
Where do we stand with this process today more specifically? You talked about agencies are currently working on this, but how far down the path are they?
Well, in many cases, it's very fundamental, early stages. Some of the agencies that have counterparts, for example, Federal Student Aid is a good example, where similar to banks that are in a lending mode, they've had established practices that they just brought into the government. In many cases, however, they're just beginning to grapple with fundamental practices, and OMB is working through several different venues of guidance. We expect A11, A123, the most recent A129, to include some of the basic practices.
What is the path that agencies can use if you want to push this up the chain and convince folks that this is something we should be doing, Dan? How do we go about demonstrating this? Maybe the same way we demonstrate return on investment in a financial investment we were going to try to make.
Well, I think it has to come from the top down. It has to be a leadership priority, and it can be housed in different areas. I think one of the recommendations is that it shouldn't be owned by one individual alone, but it should be owned across the agency. In many places, you see this as a function within the office of the CFO. It could be housed within the office of the Chief Performance Improvement Officer, which sometimes is dual-hatted as a CFO.
Mm-hmm.
You have chief risk officers as well, but it all comes down to having that top-level leadership attention. And if leadership makes it a priority, then it can cascade through the organization. The organization can take the steps necessary to make it a priority.
Are there best practices here? Are there techniques that either some agencies or private sector organizations or others have established to do this? Because it sounds initially kind of amorphous and just kind of bunch of ideas, and let's figure out what all's going on out there.
There are leading practices, and similar to some other areas, this is one where the commercial organizations have a little bit of a head start. So there are practices that can be leveraged for federal related to the organizational structure, the types of governing and governance structure and bodies that you put in place, the chief risk officer itself, risk registers, the ways that you evaluate and score different risks as to their intensity and their likelihood and things like that. So the answer is yes, there are a whole host of leading practices that support this.
So if they exist, then that means that the desired outcomes that can be expected should also be quantified too. Is that fair to say?
Quantified, or maybe, I don't want to imply that it's just a numerical measure,
yeah,
but they can be measured and evaluated.
Yeah, that's not the term that I quantified. Probably wasn't the best choice, but that's what I'm headed for. We have an idea then, if we know how to achieve the issues that we want to achieve, then we know what it should look like if we're successful on the back end.
Yes.
Okay. And do we have, what are some of those? What are some of the ways that we can apply enterprise risk management and get results in an area different than we're getting today?
Well, I think what you can look at is look at who your stakeholders are and what kind of risks or uncertainties are applicable to them. Because if you are if you're an agency that relies heavily on outside contractors, what are the risks of facing those outside contractors? And I think that can help you plan ahead. You can make it part of your strategic review, the cross-agency, your performance goals, your strategic goals, part of the GPRA, Modernization Act structure. I look at ERM as just an evolution of the management tools that we've seen coming on board for the last 25 years or so, and here's an opportunity for an agency to bring inside its culture and to look both internally and externally at what those risks are in order to mitigate them, but also to find opportunities for improvement in their program delivery and in their services.
Dan Blair of NAPA and Linda Springer of Ernst & Young. And Linda, Dan used one of my favorite words talking about federal agencies, and that's culture. Where does a concept like ERM fit inside the cultures that are established right now at most federal agencies? It sounds like that might be the hardest part of implementation of a strategy like this.
That is clearly one of the challenges. There initially has to be a tone at the top, and we've heard various stories recently where that was a starting point for setting the right type of culture, the right type of expectation for behavior within the organization. And beyond that, though, a lot of it has to do with the type of dialogue and vocabulary you use. So, for example, risk experts will say, don't necessarily ask your program officers to tell you about risks because they may become defensive about their program. Ask for uncertainties. Mm-hmm. So there are a number of steps that you can use as you begin to launch this and change the culture to be accepting of the idea that there can be certain uncertainties related to outcomes, and there are ways to start to identify them. And not only that, but it breaks down the silos. That's the other key to enterprise risk management. It's not just a siloed thing within IT or HR or acquisition, for example, but across the organization, the sum of all those parts is what then makes the LICO want to say, we've got an important issue.
How much of this, Dan, is a challenge just because you're talking about management of that R word, risk, in a federal government that right now is tremendously averse to risk or any kind of controversy or any kind of problem?
Well, I think it helps you decide what your appetite for risk can be. And it can be an evolutionary process. Engaging and implementing an enterprise-wide risk management program might be very daunting for an agency or department. So rather than doing it agency-wide at first, identify some programs or a pilot program or a small segment where you can obtain some quick successes and then start applying it across the organization. You can build trust with the employees that way. You can build the track record and experience that will be helpful. And you can also develop a good base of lessons learned, best practices, and what to avoid.
It strikes me, too, that in an environment like this where you're learning about what, as Linda said, uncertainties or what risks are, You probably find things that are risks or uncertainties that you didn't know you didn't know. And so implementing in an evolutionary scalable fashion like that probably makes more sense anyway.
Well, I think that would be, and it's digestible that way too, rather than be overwhelmed with data. You can start small and make it bigger. But I think it's important that you drive this from the leadership. But if you look at really any program office or any of the C-suite offices, I mean, I look at it from a human capital perspective. If you did risk management and what the uncertainties would be about that, what are the opportunities? Look at it from the procurement side. You can look at it from a whole host of different angles, and you can apply it smaller and make it larger and eventually include the entire organization. But you need to make sure that you have that culture adaptable and ready to accept this kind of evolutionary management tool. But it's a very important one.
How much is the data revolution helping this or maybe hurting it by creating and driving so much data for agencies that it's hard to pick and choose what they should be paying attention to derive their risk strategies?
I think it's more helpful than hurtful. We talk to agencies about aggregation of risk data. So having the data available or the capability to get data as you identify risk areas is a good thing. And then the question becomes, how do you aggregate it so that you have a view that allows you to be actionable about what you've learned? Well, I was just going to say another example, and Dan gave a lot of different areas where this makes sense, is think about IT. And it's a digestible part, to use Dan's term. We have systems that get to the point where they've ended their useful life. Rather than just come in and say, okay, we need a system to do that, a new one, go out and buy this year's version, you say, well, wait a minute, let's step back and say, what will our needs be going forward? And do we need maybe a different type of IT capability? So that's the example of, and the difference between just mitigating, putting in a system so we're not out of business, versus saying, let's use this as an opportunity to have an even better system that's better aligned.
So I think when you use that example of something that I've talked about on this program a number of times, it's right in the wheelhouses for both of you, and that's the workforce. I mean, risk management in a workforce environment where we are in 2014, with the turnover that we have, experienced people leaving government, but being replaced not necessarily by people who do that, whatever that in quotes is, strikes me as extremely useful in this case.
Well, I think there's been a lot of work in this area already. And as you know, the strategic management of human capital was once part of the high risk list that GAO put out, and they've narrowed it over the years. Now I think it's down to certain highly critical skills and the skills gaps. But I think that if you start looking at this and applying it to other programs, as Linda was talking about, you can learn a great deal. One thing that I think needs an evaluation, the ERM evaluation, would be the data itself, because if it's garbage in, it's garbage out. And I think that we've seen that with some agencies, that the data they've had, they may have had really good processes, but the data has been bad. So I think it's applicable to multiple items on a management agenda within an agency to help them better perform and to identify areas where they may be suffering, but also identifying those areas for opportunities.